This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. During the month of September, we are celebrating 70 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
How is life lived out for a Christian in a counter-Christian culture? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we are indeed mindful that we live in a counter-Christian culture. Perhaps it's always been that way, but ours seems to be so vocal, so harsh at times. How do we live in this culture and still be faithful to you? We pray that we may get some help from this question in your word today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of
several weeks now, we have been studying the Beatitudes, and we come to the last one, which is recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Yeah.
Friends in Christ, as citizens living in a counter-Christian culture, do people ever characterize you as a bigot? That is, one who is intolerantly devoted to his own church, or more than that, to his own beliefs or opinions? Do they ever characterize you as divisive, narrow-minded, irritant, or a lost cause? If so, why do they? Now, I raise that question because more than once, somebody has looked me right in the face and said, you know, it's just too bad, but you are a bigot. And you know what? I don't like to hear that, because I like to be loved by people. And I don't think a bigot is necessarily one who is loved by people. But if I am a bigot, why did I give that person that impression? Now, we were talking one day about a very, very biblical passage. It dealt with the matter of salvation. And I said, it is not for me to judge, but it is for me to proclaim that Jesus has made it very clear. Salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the lady who heard that statement flared. And she said, you can't believe that. And I said, well, I do believe that, but that is not so important to you. What is important is, what does the Word of God have to say? And the conversation went on, but I've shared enough of that. When I went home from that meeting in which a woman had spoken publicly to me, I asked the question, why did she show such hostility? If it is because I was obnoxious, or that I showed a hateful spirit, or that I was insensitive to the feelings of others there in the group, then I would say that it was time for the Lord to give me an attitude adjustment. But if it is because of strong convictions that are based on solid biblical truths that speak so clearly that there is no question what they are saying, and they are spoken in love, then I have to take the words of Jesus very seriously when he said, you can expect such treatment. You remember he goes on in this subject in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where in verses 20 and 21 he says, remember, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the name of the one who sent me. And now in our text today, the last of the Beatitudes which we have been studying, our blessed Lord says, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I'd like to discuss this word of our Lord with you in greater depth this day. What is a counter-Christian culture? It is a term that I have borrowed from Lloyd Ogilvy, a man whom I admire very much as God's great child and a marvelous preacher of his word. I believe that Dr. Ogilvy would say, and I certainly do believe myself, that all of culture has been counter Christ from the very beginning. Culture is always pretty much decided by the people who live in it. And because the human being is sinful by nature, it's only natural that it would be counter-Christian, counter-Christ. This one is no different than the others. One would hope that as we get better educated and that as a church grows larger, it seems, and we have all of these stately monuments on every street corner practically in the nation called the church buildings, that we would be having enough of an effect that people would gradually be coming more to Christ than away from him. But that is not true because of the nature of the human being. Well, what are some of the characteristics of this counterculture, counter-Christian culture? One is, strangely enough, in my contact with these people, they want to be called religious. Now, they want you to know that there is some spiritual sensitivity within their whole being. Not long ago, I was visiting with a man, and we were having a nice conversation, and he says, well, I'm not a Christian, but I want you to know I'm a very religious person. I pray regularly, and I want to do good to my fellow men. We pursued that at length, and I asked him to whom he prayed, and he didn't quite give a specific answer, but I think it was to some higher being. But while he was not a Christian, in fact, he was counter-Christian in many things, he wanted to be called religious. He did not want in any way to call Jesus the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He was kind enough to elevate him to the place of one of the great religious teachers, and he went on to say probably the greatest. When I talked to him about the absolutes, and I refer back primarily to the Ten Commandments, he said, well, I think they're pretty good to have around. And it wouldn't hurt our society to at least read them. But he said, you know, those things change too. As society changes, so the absolutes have to change. And I went on to say, but don't you believe that these absolutes are objective? They don't come from the human being. They come from God. And the gentleman turned around and he said, well, if they come from God, God has to make some adjustment too. Because our society is different today than it was even in the days of our parents, some 75 or 80 years ago. And so you've got to change the absolutes. Absolutes are not really absolutes objectively. But the absolutes that you have, the rights and the wrongs that you have, are those that a right and wrong for you. Nothing could be further from the biblical teaching, but this is what the man, a disciple of the counter-Christian culture, is trying to tell me. He went on to illustrate. He said, back in my youth, cohabitation, that is, a man and a woman living together outside of marriage, was under all conditions sin. And even the worst would say that I may do it, but I know it isn't right. Today that is not the case, he said. We have to accept this, that that has become received by society as a normal way for many people to live. When I then said, that is still sin today, he smiled at me And he said, that shows how narrow-minded you really are. The very common one that we hear so often and we must continue to repeat are the words of the disciples when in the temple one day they said to the Pharisees, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And the reference is to Jesus. They were thrown out of the temple. That was enough to sentence them to death. In our day, it's treated differently. We're told that we are divisive. Our bigotry is serious. It can split a whole society. And then you will be warned that Christianity simply has to change or else. And sad to say, there are many of those in leadership positions in the church who believe that. These passages in the Bible that once stood are interpreted differently, they say, because our culture has changed. We know more. We've discovered more, and therefore that affects our Christianity. Well, this is what the topic is all about today. Blessed are you when you suffer persecution. We may get criticism from culture, but in the text that is ours today, we get praise from our Lord. And I hope that brings a lot of comfort and peace to many of us. His encouragement. Notice what he goes on to say in the text. Blessed are you who are persecuted because of righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he goes on to say that when you are persecuted and all things said against you are false and evil, rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. In other words, the way you're living in resisting and rejecting this counter-Christianity is pleasing to God. And if that isn't enough, then what else do you want? Because what does it matter if men and women laud you and your heavenly Father cannot? So he's encouraging. And he goes on and says, you know, if you have to suffer a little persecution, you're in pretty good company. They persecuted the prophets too. And then Jesus could just as well say, what else would you expect? He says, great is your reward in heaven. We know that we get to heaven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but when we get to heaven, there'll be some rewards. And if you have been willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, then the Savior himself says, great is your reward. I believe that Jesus in other parts of his word also says that great is your reward here on this earth by other people, not only by Christ himself, which is by far the most important, but by other people. For there are other people who, in spite of the fact that at the present time they may not really go along with what you're saying, want to hear the gospel. There comes a time when we simply need to hear that our sins can be forgiven. There comes a time when we need to hear that in Jesus Christ, through his suffering and his death at the cross of Calvary, has prepared a way for us into heaven, which is a place where we will live with him forever. That the human heart needs to hear that. If not before, then try it when a person is breathing his last. So there is a reward there, too. There's a reward, finally, in knowing that there is such a thing as an objective right and wrong. People need to hear that. We cannot guide ourselves. Our little minds are not big enough for that. They need to hear it. But notice what Jesus says, and this is a point that I was asking myself after being really attacked by a lady at a meeting. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Why? Because of me. If we present ourselves as obnoxious, hateful, insensitive towards the feelings of others, self-righteous, as one who has all the answers, as one who perhaps is angry when the conflict is going on, our witness is offensive, and our persecution comes from our own stupidity and not because of Christ. Many of us have seen altogether too much of this, and so we warn against it. But if our witness is one that comes from the life of a person that is captured by Jesus Christ, and if love for others flows from us to them, and there's a smile on our face because there's a song in our heart, then let us be bold and take whatever the consequences might be. Let us faithfully tell them the story of the cross. Let us talk to them about salvation. Let us let them know that this is a way that God has planned to bring us into the kingdom of heaven. Look them face to face. Smile at them and say, you know, Jesus Christ loves me so much, but he told me to go and tell you that he loves you also. That's why he came. And he wants to share that love with you and bring you into the kingdom of God forever. That's the eighth beatitude. I pray, as we prayed at the beginning, that this portion of God's word has been a real blessing to you, that it's given you a bit more of a insight into how the Christian walks, especially as he walks in a counter-Christian culture. May you return to the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel and read those Beatitudes often. Amen.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you that we are privileged to live in this challenging age. Certainly, it is an age of counter-Christianity. That's the way it's always been. But, O God, grant that your people may be firm in proclaiming the truth of your holy word, regardless of what the results may be. We pray that we may be given grace to be faithful. We ask, O God, that you will give us the grace to be loving, but loving in the sense that we proclaim that marvelous truth, in Christ we have a Savior. So thank you for the Beatitudes that you have given to us. And thanks for letting us know that in your mind, those are blessed who live with you, for there they find comfort and strength in hours of depression, and there they find encouragement in days of challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.